and they'll be alive again. We have a cure. But he knows, and this is a verse right here, this could indicate a long passage of time. Who knows how long this is? This is sort of a placeholder here where now it's sort of, you know, just all the cities going around to a bunch of different cities. Who knows how long that took? Right? It's sort of a mark that says there was a lot more of this. I'm not going to go into detail. Verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The people were so directionless. You know, they came and they followed him, but they fainted. They, you know, I think of like what it says, you know, he fainted not at the promise of God. And God, you know, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites fainted in the wilderness, when they doubted him, he was wroth. But Christ had come down in the guise of men and feeling and being touched with our infirmities to become our intercessor. He looked with compassion on the multitudes that followed him. And, you know, when he was crucified, there was no one there. I mean, well, the multitudes had left him. These multitudes had departed from him. None of his disciples would be crucified with him. There'd be some present. Some stood afar off. But none would go with him. But he had pity on all the multitudes of people. Because they were so ignorant. And so without a director. Without a leader. He had compassion on them. Verse 37, then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There were all these people ready to receive the Messiah. You know, he didn't have an internet ministry where they could all listen to his teachings one-on-one. His voice could only carry so far. They heard of his fame, and they would follow him. Thousands. How can one man speak to thousands? Really? In that time, very difficult. I remember in the movie, Monty Python's The Life of Brian, there were people standing in the back that I, what did he say? I can't hear him. Right? And that would have been how it is. The miracles were done. They're like, let's get close. And people were pressing him and coming close. He wanted them all to receive what they came for. He wanted them all to hear. He wanted them all to receive what they came for. There weren't enough men to go about. In chapter 10, he's about to send men out to preach the gospel. To do the things he was doing. His disciples. His apostles. He's going to appoint them. And send them out. As part of the ministry. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It's a period that's going to take some time. Now, a lot of it in the next few chapters begin to be concerned with his doctrine. And so you are being sort of put through a montage of the time that's going to go by between now and then. Ending the early part of his ministry here. There are many people ready to hear the gospel. But one man could not speak to all of them. Except he appoint others to speak in his place. It's not like today, oh, hand out my DVDs. Hand out my CDs. Download my free teaching on the internet. www.gospelofjesuschrist.org. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He who brought them all. God brought these miracles that caused the people to follow Jesus and then to seek him and to want to know, is this the Messiah? Is this the one we should be following? What does he have to say? But there's not enough of him to go around. They're scattered and they're fainting. They can't keep following him. They're following him and like, you know, there's times when they get hungry and there's times when they have to go. They can't keep following him. His ministry was not a sprint, but a marathon. He needed laborers for the harvest. In chapter 10, he begins to pick the laborers, the ones whom God had sent and chosen for that purpose.